Well, please turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24 and verses 24 and 25. Acts chapter 24, reading verse 24 and 25. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." And our subject this morning is what Paul said to Felix. What Paul said to Felix. Well, we come this morning to these words before us in the book of the Acts of the Apostles. And just very briefly to mention, although I'm sure many of you are aware of this, the book of Acts does indeed give us the account of what the apostles did after the death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, what happened to those disciples who walked with him, who knew him, and who saw his miracles and heard his words, what happened after he died and resurrected. Well, we are taught what happened to them. We are given the account in the book of Acts. It is the Acts of the Apostles, what the apostles did. And we hear of Peter, for example, at the beginning of the book. We read of him preaching on the day of Pentecost and the Holy Spirit descending and the speaking in tongues in different languages and so on. We hear of the Apostle Paul, and this chapter particularly will concern the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, of course, did not actually walk with the Lord during his earthly ministry. He was not one of the original 12, as it were. But you will know what happened to the Apostle Paul. He was, of course, the greatest persecutor of the Christian church, the early church of those believers in Christ. And he delighted in persecuting the church. But then the Lord, the risen Lord Jesus, appeared to him on the road to Damascus, and he was changed. And he became an apostle to the Gentiles. He went from being the greatest enemy of Christ to his most devoted servant. And many will tell you, and many have said, that that is the greatest miracle that we read in the book of Acts. So many tremendous miracles we read in the Gospels and in the book of Acts. But perhaps the greatest is that the apostle Paul was turned from great enmity to great love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul, as I've already mentioned, is in this chapter. He is stood before a man called Felix, a man called Felix, who is the governor of a region called Caesarea. And well, we remind ourselves, of course, as we often do, that this is a historical event. These are historical figures. There really was somebody called Felix, Antonius Felix. He was a true Roman governor, and other historians know of him, and he truly did govern Judea. There really was, of course, somebody called the Apostle Paul. So we remind ourselves from time to time that these are not mythical figures that we are dealing with. This is a historical place. This is a historical time. We believe this is around the year AD 59, around that, or maybe AD 60, because that's the time when Felix was governor. So all this actually truly happened. But anyway, the Apostle Paul is stood before Felix. And why is this? Well, again, just very briefly, he has been arrested. He is being charged by Ananias, the high priest. We read right at the start of the chapter, the leading Jews, Ananias. He's employed a spokesperson called Tertullus, and they're accusing Paul of a number of things. He's basically on trial. And accusations are being made, various accusations. I won't go through the whole account. But in verse 5, for example, this is one of the accusations: for we have found this man a pestilent fellow and a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. That's interesting. That's how Christians were being described in that time. A sect of the Nazarenes. The Apostle Paul was going around preaching a strange message, a message unlike any other message, unlike any other religious message, a gospel message, this good news. And it was changing people. It was moving people, moving people's hearts, causing people to change their beliefs, causing people to change their outlook, to change their minds. In fact, they themselves were being changed completely. Even their very nature was being changed fundamentally, dramatically. They were being born again with a new nature. And why was that? Well, because they were believing in one Jesus of Nazareth. This message was centered on Jesus of Nazareth. So all those who believed in Jesus of Nazareth, they were being called a sect of the Nazarenes, because they believe in this Jesus of Nazareth. It was a term of contempt in many ways, because nobody ever thought that anything good would come out of Nazareth. This is a sect of the Nazarenes. This is a description of the early church, because they believed in Christ, this Jesus of Nazareth. But the leading Jews, obviously, they did not like this message. And, they call Paul all sorts of things. He's moving sedition. He's basically telling everybody to worship a new king, not Caesar, not Rome. Worship Jesus of Nazareth. So he has to be dealt with. He's dangerous. And so they want him put away. And Paul, for his own part, well, he defends himself. Verse 14, but this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. Paul is saying that I am actually worshiping the true God in the right way. In worshiping Jesus, I am worshiping God, because this Jesus is the one whom God has sent. He is the one who has been promised in the Old Testament. He is the one that the law and the prophets, they all testify of him. So I'm not guilty of heresy. I'm actually worshiping God in the right way. So Paul is making his defense, and he knows, of course, that Christ is the Messiah, that Christ is God. But I want to move on to these words towards verse 24 and 25. Felix, well, he's interested in what Paul has to say. And after a few days, we read verse 24. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. So they have the trial. And then after a few more days, Felix is interested. He wants to hear more about what Paul has to say. And verse 25, well, what does he say? And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. The Apostle Paul, he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment. In other words, the Apostle Paul preached to Felix. And this is in itself amazing, because Paul could have spent the whole time trying to prove his accusers wrong, trying to prove his innocence, trying to secure his liberty. He's before Felix. Felix can set him free. He could have spent the whole time, Felix, just let me go. But he doesn't. He preaches the gospel to Felix. That's what he does. That is more important than anything else. It's more important than his liberty. It's more important than his well-being. I must have Felix hear the gospel. That is so commendable. You know, sometimes people are asked, if you met your favorite celebrity, for example, or if you met the Prime Minister, or if you met the President of the United States, or somebody that was your favorite person that you watched on TV or something like that, if you met a person such as that, what would you say to them? Well, if you're a Christian, perhaps we ought to say, and we should say, we would share the gospel with them. We would make sure that they hear the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because that is what Paul is doing here. No other interest in his mind. He doesn't care about his liberty. He's before Felix. He wants him to hear the gospel. That's the example of the Apostle Paul. This is what he endeavors to do. But he reasoned with Felix as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Let us just consider what the Apostle Paul actually said to him. Well, there were three things that he mentioned. It was a structured sermon, you could say. 3 points. He preaches of righteousness, he preaches of temperance, and he preaches of judgment to come. So let us just take those 3 points and try and work out what the Apostle Paul would have preached to Felix. Well, righteousness, it's a word we often say, and I don't want to repeat or overly repeat things that we so often mention in our gospel services, but maybe perhaps let me try and explain to you some of the secondary meanings of righteousness before we tackle the main meaning of the word. Righteousness, many things we could say, but what righteousness means, or part of what it means, righteousness very simply means doing what is right. Doing what is right. A righteous person does what is right, always does what ought to be done, always knows what the right thing is to do. That's what it is to be righteous, or part of it. You always do the right thing. Now, we as human beings, we very often, in fact, all the time, we do not do what is right. That's sadly our nature. We often do not do what is right. We don't do what we ought to do. We often don't know what the right thing is to do in our lives. We look at our lives, we look at the way we live. We don't know what the right thing is to do. But here's the difference. God is righteous. And God always does do the right thing. And God always does all things well, we read in the Word of God. And God always knows what is right. God's Word is always right. Everything that we read of in the Bible is right. You know, sometimes we doubt the Word of God when we read it. We read it and we doubt it. And of course, the whole world around us doesn't believe in the Word of God. The world around us will scoff at the Bible and ridicule the Bible and say it's all a load of rubbish. But a Christian knows that this word is always right. Even if the rest of the world hates it and says it's a load of rubbish, even if the scientists dismiss it and all the celebrities hate it and rip out pages of it and say it's all wrong, we as Christians, this is part of our faith. We know that God is right. If the whole world says that God is wrong, we know God is right, because this is our faith, because he is righteous. He is the only one who is righteous, not this world, this unrighteous world. God is always right. His word is right. If the world disagrees with it, they are wrong. God is always right. That's a great part of what it is to see God as righteous. We know that the Lord is always right. But secondly, righteousness means, or to be righteous, somebody who is righteous is right with God. Somebody who is righteous is right with God. Now, this is challenging for us. There's quite a lot of people, sadly, who say, they believe in God, And there are quite a lot of people who say that, well, they read their Bible and perhaps they agree with their Bible in some places and like hearing it preached, and people who are very religious and church-going, they believe in God and so on, but they can't actually say that they are right with God. That they are right with God. If you cannot say you are right with God, well, may I say to you, there's not much point being religious. There's not much point hearing the word of God. If you yourself are not actually right with God, what is the point? This is the great aim, that we must be right with God, otherwise there is no profit in all of our religious exercises, no profit in our church going. There'll be no peace in your own hearts if you yourself are not right with God. So I have to ask the question, of course. We are all here, we are all in the right place, and that's good and right. But do you know if you are right with God? That's the great question. That's the most important question. And this is one that we must ask ourselves. Are we right with God? But how can we be right with God? How can we be righteous in the sight of God? And we often speak about this. We mentioned this last week. It's not by our good works. It's not by the keeping of the law. Not by the keeping of the Ten Commandments. Now, I know you all know this, or most of you will, but I have to mention this because so many people have the wrong idea of what Christianity is. They just say to themselves, Christianity is just keeping laws and rules, and you have to keep the Ten Commandments. And if you can keep the Ten Commandments, then you go to heaven. Sadly, people have that idea, that mistaken idea of Christianity. That is not the gospel, dear friends. Of course not. It's not keeping the Ten Commandments, because we can't keep the Ten Commandments. Nobody can. We are weak. We are sinful by nature. Now, the Apostle Paul, he speaks to Felix about righteousness, but let's just note the next word, righteousness, temperance. What does that word mean, temperance? Well, very simply, that is self-control. Self-control, temperance. Now, perhaps Paul was specifically speaking of Felix because Felix was a man in history known for his lack of self-control. The Roman historian Tacitus wrote of Felix saying that he was a man who indulged in every kind of barbarity and every kind of lust. He was a man who lacked temperance, lacked self-control. I believe Paul was preaching at him, of course. But dear friends, we are no different. We all lack self-control. We're all weak. How many times do we say to ourselves, I will never do this, and I will never do that. I will never, for example, lose my temper. And then you go and lose your temper. I will never be angry at people, and then you go and get angry. I will never gossip. I know I'm a gossip. I'm going to stop doing it. I'm going to control myself. And then, lo and behold, you end up gossiping. Each and every single one of us, we lack temperance. We lack self-control. We can't even keep our own standards, the rules that we make for ourselves, for our conduct, our character. We can't even keep our own standards. How on earth are we going to keep God's standards? The Ten Commandments. You can't, dear friends. And remember what the Lord said. Thou shalt not kill, but even if you in your heart have anger towards somebody, you've broken that commandment because there's the root of murder in your heart. And if you lust, if you just look at a woman, or a man with lust in your heart, you've broken that commandment. We don't have self-control, dear friends. It's not by keeping the law that we shall be saved. We must seek another way. Righteousness, temperance. You don't have any self-control, Paul was saying to Felix. And then he says, judgment to come. Judgment to come. And when Felix heard that, well, look at what happened. Felix trembled. Paul is speaking about righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Felix trembled. Well, no wonder. Felix was a man who was subject to his passions, a slave to his own passions. And no wonder he was scared, because he was hearing that one day he will have to stand before God and he will have to give an account of his life and explain all the times when he had no self-control. And perhaps those times when he didn't want any self-control. You know, this is how the world teaches. Don't be disciplined. Just let yourself go. Let yourself go and do whatever you want. This is the way of the world. But this is the reality for the whole world, that there is a judgment to come. A judgment to come. If only the world would understand this. The whole world is sinning to their heart's content, and they don't think there's anything that's going to happen. People will say to you, they've said to me before, I sin a lot. Nothing happens to me, Pastor. So where is God? I've sinned so many times, but I'm fine. I'm doing very well in my life. So where is your God? Well, this is the truth, the reality. There is a judgment to come. There's a judgment to come. Just because you're sinning and nothing's happening now doesn't mean you get away with it. There's a judgment to come. No wonder Felix trembled, because there's no way you can escape it. There's no way you can avoid it. Felix trembled. How is it with us? Do we tremble when we hear of these things? Temperance and judgment to come. We have to speak in these ways, because judgment is so important. If you don't hear about judgment in a gospel presentation, well, then that gospel presentation is very lacking. You don't really understand what the gospel is all about. You don't understand why Christ died. I remember I went to a presentation once at a church, not this church, of course, and they spoke about many things. They spoke about apologetics, and they spoke about Christ and the cross, but they left out judgment. And one lady who was not a believer, she turned to me and said, well, yes, they said about the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, but what is that meant to do? Is that meant to make me feel guilty or something? That Christ died for me? Well, she was angry about this. Christ died on the cross, but so what? Just to make me feel guilty? And then I had to explain to her, it's not to make you feel guilty. It's you need that death, because there is a judgment to come. We all have to stand before God one day, and we will be condemned unless we trust in Christ. Christ on the cross, he died in our place. Our substitute, it's not to make you feel guilty. He took your place, your punishment, your judgment upon himself. And then she understood how much she needed Christ. That's why he died, to be my savior. And dear friends, this is what we all have to understand. When we speak about Christ dying on the cross, it's not to manipulate you or to make you feel guilty. It's to help you see your need. There is a judgment coming for all of us, but Christ has died for you if you believe in him. He has taken that punishment for you. You need him. You must have him. And dear friends, this is the faith that we have. This is what the Apostle Paul preached. And what a wonderful sermon it must have been, much better than mine, I'm sure. Righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Felix trembled. But let's just, as we begin to close, look at Felix's response. He did tremble, but it didn't make much of an impact. Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. So the apostle has preached to Felix. And Felix has heard everything that the Apostle Paul has said to him, but look at his response. This isn't really the right time. This is what he's saying. Go thy way for this time, Paul. When I have a convenient season, when it's convenient for me to come to the Lord Jesus Christ or to think any more about righteousness, temperance, judgment, then maybe I'll think about it. But not now. He's basically saying, not now. And dear friends, there are so many people like that. So many people who will hear this message and have heard this message many times, they will say the same thing. Not now. Maybe some other time, they'll say to themselves. Young people do this, most particularly. Young people here, I'm sure there are some of you at least saying to yourself, well, yes, I know these things. I know God is righteous. I know I lack self-control. I know there's a judgment to come. You know all of these things, but not now. I'm not going to come now. It's just not convenient in my life to come now. Just like Felix says. Dear friends, that is so foolish. Or maybe even older people, elderly people, they will say to you, well, if I had known this when I was younger, maybe as a teenager I would have come, but now it's not the right time. People use this so much as an excuse. Dear friends, whatever time of your life you are in, it is the right time. It's the right time now. It may not feel like the right time. I understand that. It may not feel like the right time for you, but God is calling you today. God is calling you today. And He is always right. You may not feel it's the right time, but God is always right. Remember? God is always right. And He's calling you now. It is the right time. Trust in Him. Put your faith in Him. And there'll be no trembling. There'll be no fear over the judgment to come. You will know that Christ has died for you. There is no condemnation. There's nothing for me to fear in this life or in eternity. I believe that Christ has died for me. I know I am right with God. For the first time, what joy to say it for the first time. I am right with God. If you can't say it or if you haven't been able to say it, simply believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you shall be saved. This is what the Apostle Paul urged Felix to do. This is what I urge you to do so many years later. Seek the Lord, find Him, call out for Him even now, and you will be received. Or may the Lord bless these wonderful things to us.